Okay. Now to a topic nobody has any interest in. Short-term rentals. I'm going to ask. Chris Borlow, our CBO, to bring us up to date on the legal requirements and what exists in the Keller dealing with short-term rentals. And this came out of various types of a short-term plan of moving forward to try and deal with this subject. And since we did have a committee, the committee met once, and then we're resurrecting that, but we needed to start with facts. So I've asked Chris for facts on rentals from a municipality point of view so we can deal with those going forward. So with that introduction, Chris, you have the floor.
Thank you, Council and Mayor. So as for my report, I think it's kind of clear what the status of things are. So a little bit of a history of it. I started in my report just describing what a short-term rental is, and that definition was taken from the City of Toronto, which is just defined as all or part of a building or a dwelling unit rented out for less than 28 days in exchange for payment. In the past, we have sought a planning opinion on our zoning bylaw and also a legal opinion on our zoning bylaw to basically see whether a short-term rental is considered a permitted use or whether it's not a permitted use in the Township of McKellar. The way our zoning bylaw is written in the WF waterfront residential zones, which is WF 1 to 5, it gives you a list of permitted uses in those zones. A cottage rental is not listed permitted use. But a cottage rental is defined in the zoning bylaw. And that cottage rental is a listed permitted use in the C2 tourist commercial zone. Both the planning opinion that we have had in the past and the legal opinion that we've had both support the fact that it is an illegal use in the waterfront residential zones and would require an amendment to the zoning bylaw and the official plan in order to be considered a legal use. Council has looked at it in the past on two different occasions, 2011 and 2015, where they had directed the previous CBO to enforce the provisions of the zoning bylaw. At that time, letters were written to various cottage rentals. When research was done online from various rental sites. And to my knowledge, in 2011, when those letters were written, there was no enforcement action. It was just simply a deterrent to try and prevent people from renting in hopes to lower the number of cases of fireworks and illegal burning and noise complaints that were within the township. In 2015, there was another resolution passed by council to enforce the provisions of the zoning bylaw when it was related to a matter on Lindsay Lane. That matter was taken to the courts with lawyers. It was with the courts for several years, and I'm unsure of the reason why the court case was withdrawn from courts. I was never really privy to that, but council made a decision to withdraw that case. As it stands now, I believe that the planning opinion and the legal opinion that we have had in the past, as we still enforce the same bylaw, clearly states that it is not a permitted use within the waterfront residential zones, and that council would need to make a decision on whether to revise and amend the zoning bylaw to either permit them or to enforce the provisions as they are now. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Great. Thanks for all your documentation. And this will go to the committee. We're hoping to have a meeting coming up in June. I've suggested to the clerk that we have the committee meeting on the Saturday the 25th at 10 o'clock. That's a Saturday. People will be up here, open to the public, and we we start to review the process and see if we're going to maintain what we have or we're going to amend or change or whatever we're going to do. I have no idea.
So I think at that time the committee would have to consider those two options.
Yeah,
and whether to bring that to council to pass a resolution to do either way.
The idea was we'd maybe look at some short-term resolutions and some long-term things. When you change the zoning bylaw, that takes a longer time to do that. But maybe there's some short-time things, whether it's educational or whether it's fines or whether it's whatever it is. We'll see what they come up with, because there's a lot of opinions out there, I guarantee you that.
Right.
At least we're going to start the process, and this was a good start because it gives us the report. We're also asking the bylaw officer to give his report of incidents and stuff like that. So we're going to have two of the staff reports to start the basis of where we're going. So that's just where we are. So.
Sure.
Is there any other questions for Chris that council might have about his report, about the status of where we are? And council members? Okay, is it okay if we ask the audience to ask any questions? Do the rental solution, just questions on his report. There was one lady back here. First, somebody.
I don't want to put
you. Please state your name for the record.
Bonnie Meyer, 581 Center Road. It's curious to me because Chris doesn't know why council came out of the...
Withdrew the
court case. So my question is, first of all, I'd like to know why he's not told in order to make this presentation. He is entitled for all the information that this council has decided on. When did council decide on stopping the proceedings with the legal challenge? The date?
Don't know the date.
It
was after 4 or 5 years of trying to go through the legal thing to verify from a judge's point of view that we have a valid 9512. That's what it was about.
If we had left it in the court system, we would have got the judge's view. I want to know, this was when the new council was now in place.
Right.
I want to know when council decided to stop it off.
And why?
I don't know the exact date.
What was it, like the beginning of 2020
probably?
I don't know the exact date or the reason, but I think it was around 2020.
And do we know, so be early 2020? Or
I can't tell.
Do we know why council, like it's over, the court case is over, why did council withdraw this?
I believe it was due to the ongoing and uncontrollable expense and ongoing... expense to the council at that point in time.
Okay.
Because it went on for five years, and the person that was in, I'm not sure if you can say that, all that sort of stuff was going on. He was suing everybody, suing Lake Association, and it was costing. We could not get a change. Lawyers at one point in time, and we had to do a whole bunch of things, and it was going to be a no-win situation at that point in time. So we decided that we would withdraw our complaint, which was raised in 2015.
Whether they sue the Lake Association has nothing to do with
it. It's nothing to do with us.
So
that's to do with a different situation. But that happened at the same time. So, but ours was a concern about the ongoing cost and without any resolution after 5 years.
So can we get what cost taxpayers endured for the waste of time in those years? Can we get how much we paid the lawyers? And did we pay money to the people that we were putting through the court system? Did the people in Lindsay Lane, did we pay any of their court costs?
I don't believe so.
Can we get a total of what it cost us for all
Well,
those
unless
years?
It's confidential information, yes.
It shouldn't be. We're taxpayers have paid and the court case is over.
Yeah.
My concern is when the new council got in and they put in everything's off the website, but there is one document on there. It's the project's already approved and in motion. And this was in early 2019. And it says, set up two council liaison representatives to oversee ways to improve the transfer station operation and find positive solutions to the rental situation and ultimately bring recommendations to council. Now, if I was being accused and I was their defense lawyer, hey, why are you charging my people when you're looking at changes? Why are you taking them to court? I think this had a lot to do with it. With the newly elected council, they were not put. But I'd like to know the cost. And I'd like to know really why. You guys were all in the closed council meeting. I want the real truth. And I'd like to know why Chris wasn't given that information. He's entitled to that. He's a staff member. He's asked to do a report. He's not even, he doesn't even know why you threw this court case out after all these years and the expense. And you knew we were going to win it. You knew it. You knew it.
Absolutely no. I do not know that.
We do.
Yeah, well, we were advised that we didn't
know. You look at all the other municipalities and what they're doing. Seguin's now, they're not letting that this rental business, McDougal, Carding. And you look at all the ones that had allowed all these overnight camp rentals. Now they want to cap them. There's too many. Huntsville. Look at what's happened.
Yeah.
It's just snowballed.
And 3 years later.
You know, this is not progress. This is not looking at business and that. This is going to ruin our township and our lakes. This has got to stop. I don't even know why you're looking at the short-term rental. It's in place. And if people want to apply for a rezone and a change in the amendments, all the amendments, let them do it on their own. And then it's up to their neighbors to decide. And then they're going to have to follow all the laws that we follow. The water system, the liability insurance. I can go on, 18 different government agencies, and now we're going to have to hire more bylaw and building to go around and check on these guys for a pity little fee. You're going to charge them for rentals, a rental property. You're going to open a whole can of worms here with people not even on site watching their people they rented out to. And, of course, site plans. I hope they all have docking permits. I'm sure everybody gets docking permits, don't they? You know, it's got to be done right.
Anyway, we're asking for his report. We've got his report. We're going to get the bylaw officer's report. We're going to have a committee meeting open to the public, and we're going to see where we go.
Well, I hope we do, because I'm still waiting for that cool open public meeting.
Yeah.
There hasn't been one. And all my emails to you, sir, you have never answered my emails to you. So I hope I get the response how
That's
much
fine.
It costs us of wasted time on our lawyers to do something we would have won. We would have won.
We will find that out better.
This new council did it because they were going to look in different ways. Yeah, we know.
Well, that's your opinion. So,
yes,
anyway, any more questions for Chris, please? We state your name.
Boyd Zubat. Just a simple question. If they decide to change the planning, the official plan and the zoning bylaw, both can be appealed, correct? Any amendment to the official plan, both of them can be appealed.
Okay.
And while it's appealed, the cottages cannot be rented if the law is enforced.
It's the most strict bylaw in place at the time is enforced.
Yeah. And that would be something like somewhere, I'm not allowed to have a trailer on the property. If I put a trailer on the property and rent it, you're going to come and take care of that, aren't you?
Well, there's bylaw in place.
Yeah, but that's been enforced, hasn't it?
Yes.
So you're enforcing one law against certain individuals and not you, and you're not enforcing it against other property owners. So
you're correct.
So there's a bit of discrimination going on. It seems if you got money and you got a nice place and you can rent it and you got 100 acres in the cabin and you want to let a guy have a trailer in the bush, he can't supplement his income, but somebody can rent the cottage. So. But, you know, I read the report and I think it's 100% accurate as far as I could see in all the years I've been dealing. And my family was in the business since 1947. We know a little bit of a cottage rental.
Are there any other questions? Please state your name.
Mike Richard. Chris, have you been involved in discussion with other municipalities? Because I know this is a province-wide concern. When we talk about the bylaw officer enforcement, I've seen the reports the past 2 years, the bylaw officer's reports. I saw zero in terms of his enforcement of the bylaw regarding short-term rentals.
Yes.
So nothing has happened, right?
Sure.
Okay.
So just to sorry to interrupt, but it was my understanding that it was when the 2015 enforcement was taking place, the intent at that time was to enforce one and have one court case to help us decide whether our zoning bylaw and official plan were enforceable at that time. And it was just easier, to my understanding, to do one, and if we got a positive outcome, then we would do the rest.
Okay, so we did nothing,
and we're still doing nothing
for this period of time.
Yes.
We now have an influx of new purchasers buying up properties in our township with the clear intention of short-term rental. I can tell you that there's a property on Lakeside, number 4, recently sold for $1.2 million. The purchaser has already hired a leasing agent who will deal with their bookings.
Yeah.
There are many, many more. There's another one over 96, I believe the number is. Two fellows bought it. They're not going to live it. They're going to rent it out. So we opened the door by not prosecuting and by not enforcing the existing bylaw. So this is not just this council. This is province-wide where it's an issue. So the ambiguity allows people to move in. Now what we have is a large number of people who will have financial resources in order to go and fight us in court. I'm wondering what you've heard on the provincial level, because what I've heard is that most of the municipalities are going to lean towards a system of control because they don't think they can legally prohibit. Do you have that same understanding, or?
Yeah, and again, I think that was the intent of the original case in 2015, was to find out whether we are enforceable or not. And if at that time we did not get the positive outcome that we can enforce the zoning bylaw, it wasn't worded correctly or whatever that decision may be, then we can look at another route of potential licensing or some kind of control measure. It's difficult to know without that court's decision. Other than the supporting facts that we do have a planning report and a lawyer's opinion stating that it is a prohibited use.
Right. The other thing I heard from some senior, bylaw officers from large municipalities was they felt it was a mistake for us to craft a bylaw specific that intervenes or subverts our zoning bylaw.
Yeah,
the zoning bylaw holds more legal clout than to put a subsequent prohibition.
I think you're right, as long as the interpretation of the zoning bylaw is correct.
All right. But we'll have to be prepared for an onslaught of legal challenges from all of these people who are now operating here, and we'll say, wait a minute, when we got here, there was no enforcement of this. And that will carry weight in court. So who is in charge of our bylaw officer now? Chris used to be. Is he still? Or who does he report to?
He reports to the clerk.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so this is his report. This is going to the committee, that if we can get that meeting set up. I have a lot of documents that are previous report or reports from Seguin, reports from a variety of Kawartha Lakes, Seguin stuff, a lot of material stuff from FOCA. There's a lot of different aspects to it. I haven't seen anybody who has, and we're still looking for a perfect solution. What I would like to see as council is a McKellar solution. If it's enforcement, it's enforcement. If it's regulation somehow and to deal with it, that there's some good thing with it, let's find solutions. If it's educational, let's find some solutions. But let's find a McKellar solution, because everybody is trying to deal with it. I've talked with other mayors, other people, and nobody has a perfect answer. I can almost tell you that thing. So legal, either debates left, right, and center. So if we can just, because we've got a whole bunch of other things to do, that we're going to have a committee meeting coming forward on the 25th at 10, and that's going to be open to everybody, in which the documents will be all there, and we'll go forward from that. So I don't know if we want to take any more questions at this point in time. It's up to council, but it's 9 o'clock, and I have a budget to do, which is the main purpose of the meeting. Because rentals is a very hot topic, and we'd like to make sure that we cover it in a public way with our committee meeting, which is what we're trying to say. So I think I'm going to end the topics at this point in time for the future. There's other times you can ask questions at the end of the meeting, so I'm going to move on the agenda because we've got budgets to do. Okay? Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Council.
You have questions on any topic that's on the agenda at the end of the meeting, so I'm going to hold to that. Thank you.
Could you repeat that to you in the last what you said?
I said that you can ask questions on items on the agenda at the end of the meeting. Because we've got a new budget, and it's the critical. Okay. Okay, so just a couple of quick resolutions. Resolutions 22-225, be resolved that the Council of Township of Governors hereby receive the IT Department report from Dan Hildebrand on Internet connectivity solutions for the Township of Governors for information. We need a mover and a second. Any further discussion?
Well, have you noted in the minutes that councillor has left in?
I think we can go ahead. So, all in favor? Be resolved that the Council of Township of Governors has received the report from the Building Department, report BP-2203 from Chris Portolo on the current standing of short-term rentals in the township for information. I have a mover and a second. Councilor Haskin, second. Councilor Keckin, any discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Carried. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to, and we have to approve this budget tonight and get on with it in order that the treasurer can pay bills and the treasurer can deal with other business. This has gone on long enough, and normally it's a 3-month process. We're in 7 months, and this should get resolved and done tonight. With that, I'm going to turn it over to our treasurer, Roshan, and brings up to the final numbers.
Thank you very much, Council and the Mayor. I'm not going to say much because we started the budget in January and we went through a lot of sessions. We discussed our line by line. And finally, I'm requesting the council to approve this report as well as the raise of 5.67% in taxes to get the levy of $3,696.60.44. Other than pretty much we discussed the budget in the last 6-7 meetings and. This levy will cover all our discussions and all our operating expenses as well as the capital expenses. So, other than that, I would ask the council just to approve for it because next month I have to do the tax bills and without the Tulane's budget approval, I won't be able to do the tax bills. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, Roseanne, can you explain in the tax increases the remaining 1.3% increases due to the change in assessment of properties? I'm just surprised there's actually an increase because of the assessment. Can you explain
that? Yeah, because there was a assessment change due to the addition of the in the property. Like, you know, you add the garage, you add the extra room or something like that, you move the old house and build a new one. So because of that, there was an assessment change, and that was happened after the 2021 book was sent. So that's why there was a growth in the assessment, and that's why the total change is 1.29.
Yes, Mr.
Is that in every budget all the time, every year? Like, that should be
pretty much every year you will see the growth. Whatever the initially when they send the roll book in the December of the year, at the end of the December for next year, and then there's the addition of next year too. So that's why there's always a changes in assessment.
It hasn't been in any previous versions of this budget,
no. No, it was there.
It was there.
Yeah.
Any further questions? Councilor Kekkonen?
In the waste collection and disposal, and this is 300 down to 301, that's page 17. I think we were definitely under budget. If the estimated balance December 31st, 2021 was $30,652, and we've only budgeted $27,000, and that's one cost that is prone to fuel surcharges. So if the estimated balance as of December 31st, 2021 was that it costed us was $30,652, and we've only budgeted $27,000 for 2022, which certainly will be impacted by inflation this coming year and fuel surcharges. And as well, the waste tipping fees, so that was the hauling contract, and then the waste tipping fees, the balance as of December, estimated balance of what it costed at the December 31st, 2021 was $80,714, and we have only budgeted $80,000, another cost that will certainly be affected by the fuel prices in the upcoming year.
And that could be, but then these are the estimated numbers. So again, so far I haven't seen any change. We paid almost six bills, and I haven't seen much increase in the bills. So could be in later stages of the year, but then as of now, I haven't seen much change in the bills.
Okay, and the minutes, so for administrative staff, and so that would be so for administrative staff, hiring administrative staff, how much was increased? What was allocated for that that cost for the upcoming remainder of the upcoming year?
So I included the one person who's working right now. I included the salary of that person up to the end of the December, and then the new hiring person, which we are going to look at, I have included salary almost 28,000 for the next 5 months.
So, Council, in the minutes of May 30th, 2022, Resolution 22-204 had directed
direct the treasurer to prepare the bylaw for the June 14th council meeting reflecting the following amendments. $60,000 for hiring of administrative staff.
And I don't know if you remember, I sent an email a week ago regarding my calculation that $60,000 for next 6 months doesn't make sense because the deputy clerk salary ranges between 65 to 71 per whole year. So putting a $60,000 for 6 months, unless the council intention is not hiring the deputy clerk or someone else, then I could put it, but then $60,000 for 6 months doesn't make any sense to me.
So you were ignoring the resolution and making the decision as the treasurer?
I didn't ignore it. I did send you my email, the basis of my calculation and why I want to include it.
So that meant the resolution didn't mean anything?
No, I didn't say that it doesn't mean anything.
Well, I said you changed it.
No, I said...
Go ahead.
If you want my expert opinion, then that's what the actual number should be.
Any further questions? I think we have to rely on the expertise of the treasurer to make sure that whatever we suggest to him, we can work it out in the budget and still keep the percentage down to an affordable cost of living increase rather than going crazy. So I think that's his responsibility, that's his discretion, and that's his integrity that you're talking about. And the staffing we still have to deal with, we're dealing with that close to coming up. Okay, I have a mover and seconder for the following resolution 22227. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Bedford has hereby received the Treasurer's Report, T Final 1, Proposed Budget 2022 from the Treasurer, Motion to T on the Proposed Budget for 22. I need a mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Askew, second. Councilor Riley. Any discussion?
Yes. And one last question, last page 25. It mentions the asset management plan. It was an Ontario regulation that it was mandatory that the municipality had one by July 1st, 2021. I did see there was an addendum to that it would be prepared by September 2021. That would be available.
It would be 23, from what I understand.
No, the contract that we signed, the RFP, it would be ready by September 2021. And one of the things that's very important in the budget process is to have the asset management plan, and so that you can look at what the long-term consequences are of the decisions of spending. So I've been asking for this for the entire process and just wondering at what point we're going to have a copy of the asset management plan.
The intent has always been that if we could do the fall budget like we're supposed to be doing, then the asset management plan hopefully will be there and be the major focus as we move forward. So we can, probably the new council will approve the new budget with the new asset plan. So that's where it's going to go. But it's got to be started in the fall. With the report
that
and with the budget process.
Question. It's a very specific question. I looked through the check runs. I see that we've been paying for the asset management plan. I'm just wondering.
We have not received it yet. No.
Okay, thank you.
But that's going to be part of the budget process going forward. Okay. Any other questions? I will call the question. All in favor?
Can I have a record vote, please?
Councilor Morley Pascal.
Yes.
Councillor Mike Heckman.
No.
Councillor Reg Moore.
No.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Yes.
Mayor Peter Hopkins.
Yes.
The trio.
Yeah.
They have number three. How many are going to pass? Here we go.
Just screw it.
That's how he's put on council to vote for the field.
Comments, please.
Sorry?
No comments, please. You can hear all those comments. They're not necessary.
They're intended.
You don't need them. If you're going to make them, I'm going to ask you to leave.
Okay.
You
did you hear what it said?
I heard you.
End of discussion.
So I would like.
End of discussion.
No, I would like. I would like to ask.
No, you're out of order.
I would like to ask the members of the council if they would accept me asking a question.
Not now. We finished this. We're on with
the council should be deciding this.
Just a minute. Yeah, there's
council should be deciding this, not the mayor.
We have
every other time the council is asked. I'm saying yes, you can speak.
We have a question period coming up on items that we've already talked about.
I don't care.
We've already asked, opened it up.
You don't make the decision. Council does.
We understand that.
Okay, so then ask council if he can speak.
There's no need to yell.
I will agree with council.
You don't yell.
You don't yell.
You don't tell me whether I can yell or not.
I sure can.
No, you don't.
I can.
I'll yell as much as I want to yell.
I can declare the quorum at any point in time.
Well, you go ahead. You go ahead. You going to kick me out again?
I would kick you out if you don't.
Go ahead. Kick me out. Go ahead. Kick me out.
You're not
okay. We can.
No, you're not.
I will agree that the member of the public here will speak. I would like to hear from the other members of council if they will allow that.
Up to council.
Well, it is now.
It's always up to council. But I'm saying that you already suggested that.
Get your wise right. Really?
I don't need to.
Well,
it's not wise. We did that with open. We asked council if we get discussions on the budget. Now we've passed the resolution, and now we're moving on in the agenda.
So you get to pick and choose when the public gets to speak, not council. That's what you're saying.
No.
No. That's what you said.
If you want to state that, then that's fine.
Oh, I've stated it.
I want to know what council thinks.
Yeah, short and sweet, hopefully, because it's going on and on.
Yep.
It's going on and on because of the behavior of this council. You promised us, you made this statement, after the fourth final budget review, that we would have another final budget review to have it ready in time for this meeting. You skipped that over. And the reason you skipped it over is because it meant that there would be a public viewing of all the details of the budget. And now you've gone ahead, run this through the meeting, passed it with the same three guys who were always going to vote together, and that's it. You gave the public no chance to see all the changes that you've made since the last meeting. Wrong.
Yeah, your opinion. Okay. Any other questions? Mr. Zula.
I would like to know what you did with the pool in the budget. I'm a little bit lost. Was it $1.25 million, if you had interest, that was presented. Is that what they went ahead with? That's I'm really concerned with finance in over 30 years.
So we are planning, it's still under discussion, that we are going to debenture the amount $775,000. And as of now, $161,000 requested by the West Parisian pool, which is going to pay out through the community center reserve. And once we get the debenture, we will pay the $162,000 back to the community center reserve.
So you're pushing the decision of what to do, how to make the payment, not pay for the pool aside? Mm. Or are you putting it off for a year? I'm confused. Where was the 700 and some thousand for 30 years? Where did that go?
No, we changed that one. We haven't submitted the application. That was the initial application for review. And then after the council, raised that, as well as you raised in the last meeting that, 30 years is too much. So we still going to consider maybe 5, 10, or 15, but we haven't decided yet. But then once we submit the application, we will submit the application for around $775,000, and you're going to be up to the council, and they will decide.
When will it be decided?
That's the answer.
Excuse me. We've asked a question.
Just
answered the question.
Just when will it be decided? That's all. When do you anticipate that it will be decided?
So that's why I didn't include the payment or principal payment or interest in this budget, because even now I submit the application, it will take a couple of months to approve it. So the first payment will come out the next year. So that's why we delayed the whole process, and that's why I left it to the council. We will look into that, and we will go from there.
So the council have voted and approved it. Well, it may not make any decisions on how it's financed. Is that correct? If the council's all changed, the ones that approved the pool have no... Right, the ones that have to figure
out how to pay for it, I figure that's do what they're going to do? The new council can do what they're going to do. We have resolutions, we have agreements, we have all that.
That's right to the point, right on, shot boy. Pass the buck. I want to spend the money now. I want to draw out all the reserves, and I want to fund my pet projects. That's what it's for. Let's build this, a bridge, a pool, move the garage. Man, is my brain spinning, because I sit here for 2 hours... And I don't need you sit in that meeting for 2 hours and plug your ears. How would you feel? Would you be happy?
Of course not.
Seriously.
We're going to work
plug
on
your
that.
Ears and sit for
we're
2 hours
with,
pick a word out of this and that. Raise your hand to try to get clarification and get ignored.
Anyway.
Okay, thank you for the information.
Resolution 22228, be it resolved that the Council of Township of Cutler has hereby received the accounts payable check run for May 2022. Need a mover and a second, please. Councilor Moore. Second. Councilor Ryland, any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Hearing none. So, obviously, we're running tight on time. I have my mayor's report. It will be circulated to all council, to all staff, be posted, etc. But there's so much going on that I just want to highlight some critical things that are going on, some good and some pending. So, I did do a correction from the last one, is that the MLCA didn't give $500 to the library, they gave $1,000. So I want that to be corrected, and it was much appreciated. We've opened two things. Scooby's is open. We welcome Becky Leonard back. We wish her a successful season. The same with Heather Drew of the Outpost. It's now open, and we wish her a successful season. The Recreation Committee has been having excellent movie nights and good attendance. It's free. Free popcorn as well. But the next one is the Amadeus on Friday the 24th. And they're in the process of hiring a swim instructor and accepting applications for swimming lessons. There's a special presentation on June 18th at the Bobby Orr Center, the Hall of Fame, to a deceased member of our community called Sally Manning. And she's being honored posthumously for her excellence in athletics as a member of the Canadian Olympic field hockey team, her golf championships, and an author, which is well-deserved. The rest you can all read, but just to let you know that on Saturday, July 2nd, there's three things that are going on. Two, definitely, and one, we're just waiting for a health approval. One is that the market is open, officially open for Canada Day celebration, so we hope that everybody attends that, and thanks to Jan for all her hard work. And also the library is having their anniversary from 10 till 1 with goodies. And then the other one that's happening is we're hoping that the Herdville Community Hall will open up for their pancake breakfast on all the long weekends and with their yard sale. If you go out Monday nights and look out in the field here and watch the kids play t-ball, I think it's worthwhile to go and see them. They're all over the place. It's chaos, but it's fun for them. So I did. I do want to congratulate our Conservative MP, P. Graydon Smith. He's a former mayor of Bracebridge, and he was elected in a close race. I've sent him a congratulatory note. There's a bunch of other things that don't have to. There's a bunch of reports on things that will all go online. I guess the key one is coming up is that there's been applications now for the bottle group, and there are three, I believe, right? Three at this point in time. So they're going to be having a meeting soon to start the collection of the bottles at the transfer station. The Lake Stewardship Committee is doing a lot of stuff. Do you want to say anything about all the seminars, like one coming up this week, maybe just this week?
There's one coming up on the 16th, and frankly, yes, it's a very long list of items, and frankly, I do have a list here, but I can't put my hands on it right at the moment. I don't remember what the one on the 16th.
Refer them to where they can get that information.
It's on our website, I believe. Okay. I certainly know that the one on the 16th is two days from now. So
that's what you're preserving a lot of things.
Yeah. So, and there's quite a list. Frankly, the last list I got from Jennifer, who was here tonight, filled the whole page, and it was just like each thing was just one line of all the different initiatives that are underway. Not all of them involve public meetings and things, but all of them are initiatives that the committee is taking on. So it's very broad and quite frankly involves a lot of expertise.
I think we got to cut this short.
Yeah,
you know,
I just got two other quick items. And one is to deal with the kids fishing derby. Do you want to mention that?
Recommended report. A swimming instructor has been hired, so there will be swimming lessons this year. So if you know any kids who want to sign up, do that. Outdoor pickleball is starting. Kids' T-ball is starting with approximately 30 kids. Kids' Fish and Fun, as you're mentioning, is back after the COVID, Saturday, July 16th. Usually held in the mornings at Nerva Park, but because of the market, we're going to start it at 2:30 and run until 4, the Kids' Fish Derby. So, answers your question there.
Good, thanks. Yeah. Okay, there's other things too. We'll leave those. There's correspondence for consideration. We have. Do one by one. Okay. So, resolution 22229. Be resolved that the Council of Dutchman Governors hereby received a letter from Fern Harris proposing an exchange of portions of properties to improve road safety. I have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Moore, second. Councillor Haskin. Is there any discussion on that?
So, we're receiving this letter.
Yes, for consideration, and then if there's any decision I can add to the resolution. Yes, she's putting forward. Forward the proposal to exchange the property in order for the township to improve the road condition. So that's the consideration. So we're receiving the letter from council to consider. You can consider to make a decision at a later date. We can just receive it for information.
Whatever. Okay.
What you wish?
Well, I guess we'll
receive
it. You know, because it's going to sit in limbo. It's going to sit in limbo forever if we don't put an action onto this resolution.
You want to add to everything, Michael?
So we're receiving this letter. Are we going to request the staff report?
Whichever is the best way to do it.
That's what I would suggest. I'm thinking in regards to that it would probably be Greg. That would be the person that would get in contact with Ms. Harris and look at the property that she's speaking about in question. So I just need to add that, if that's what council wants to do, I need to add that to the resolution to at least explore that with her. Mm-hmm.
Staff report, and as well, you know, how it relates to disposal of township property. I think there's a bylaw that needs to be passed.
Yes.
Surplus property. So just, I think we need a staff report that outlines the process that would follow and staff's input on if this is something they would recommend.
Okay.
This involves a road allowance that leads to the water, and the official plan says that the township will not dispose of those lands, but it's I'm thinking it's kind of an exchange of waterfront lands as opposed to disposing of lands, because we're gaining waterfront land as well as transferring.
It's just a transfer.
And that same road allowance still has waterfront on both sides of it in immediate location where that road is too.
The only thing I add in this one would direct a staff report and what the process is to follow, basically.
And I would suggest that it says here that all I realize another survey may be required and I'm prepared to share in the cost. I'm going to suggest it's firm that wants to do this. And typically the person wanting it usually bears all the costs. So that should be part of the resolution too. So she'll know whether she wants to move forward with it or not.
Just that it would be a condition of approval, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Be based on the staff report?
Yeah.
Student staff recommend that?
Yeah,
fair. Yeah, I
don't know whether staff recommend this resolution. Part of the staff report would be?
I don't know whether the staff report would include that or not. He's not involved in that.
Mm-hmm. He's not involved in that. Okay, so we want the Director of Public Works to prepare a report on the feasibility of it.
What benefits would you prepare to share with the town?
And that's what she said she was going to do. I don't know. I don't know.
Are you racist?
After the
fall. Fair enough.
I think the staff report itself, when they take into consideration the policies that this would affect, would go through the list of policies and then determine what the effect is and incorporate that into the report.
Okay.
So I don't know how detailed the additional portion to the resolution needs to be, because the structure of the staff report itself should lead into all those policies that this will have an impact on.
And we have a specific format for staff reports to council that directly lists that out, and you have to list what policies are affected by that staff report. So I will make sure that with the Director of Operations that he has to follow the staff report as set out, so that if you saw the report as it set out that we just had from the treasurer, it's very specific, and it lists out any policies or bylaws that pertain to it or are affected by it.
So then it'll be a comprehensive report.
Yes.
That's,
yes.
Okay.
Bearing in mind he's not a planner, so he can't interpret the official plan.
So
he may recommend to additional input from other
exactly.
staff
that
or
that
planning.
Could be his recommendation. Be it resolved that the Council of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the letter from Fern Harris, proposing an exchange of portions of property to improve road safety. And further, that the township have the Director of Public Works prepare a report on the feasibility of transferring the two properties, and further identifying the benefit the transfer of properties would make to the township, and further that if feasible, Mrs. Harris bears all costs with respect to the land survey.
I would take out my section that says to improve safety. I don't know how to improve safety. We're already using a trespass road.
Okay.
Greg decided to straighten it out because of the acquisition of that up and improve safety.
Yeah, straighten that out.
I think so.
Unless
yeah.
You're going to go through the lake.
I don't know how you do it.
Should have built a bridge.
So, Resolution 22229, be resolved that Council Township of Cutter has hereby received a letter from Fern Harris proposing an exchange of portions of properties, and further that the Township has had the Director of Public Works prepare a report of feasibility of transferring the two properties, and further identify what benefit the transferring of the property makes to the Township, and further the feasibleness there to bear all the costs with respect to the land survey. We have a mover and a second. Are those changes okay with the mover and a second?
I don't know.
We had, you moved.
Yeah.
And you seconded.
Sure.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call a question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. For the sake of time, the next five items, 13.2 to 13.6, are all requests for our donations from our fund that we have for community groups. I'm wondering if we can receive them all, but defer the decision until we have another chance to do that. I don't think there's an urgency of any of these particularly coming up. Just to see, we got to do the budget and we've got other things to do, so these ones, we could do a collective receiving of them and then discuss them in Committee of the Whole or whatever.
I just wanted to bring to attention that I did receive an email today, and Councillor Peckman was absolutely right that according to our bylaw, there is a very set out procedure in regards to donation requests. However, all of these donation requests I received within this past month. In one case, in regards to the fair, in all honesty, in March, the Agricultural Society didn't know if they were going to have a fair. The other ones...
Well, you're speaking about that iron?
Yes.
That, to me, that really isn't a donation. The arm wrestling was always a township thing.
And that's
the township. That wasn't the fair at all. The fair just posted it for the township.
Right, and right. That's what I had thought as well, except I received the email from Lee asking for the donation.
So I think the question from the Agricultural Society should have been, does the township still want to...
Okay, but what I'm trying to do is expedite the meeting so we can deal with priorities, and if we can take those groups and receive them and discuss them at another meeting, so sort of defer it in a way, because I don't think there's an urgency to make decisions on each of these things. We have the money in the budget. We pass it, and then these are all small amounts.
Yep. Well, the policy is set out a certain way. Some of the requests are capital requests. Mm-hmm. The policy does not support any donations to capital projects. And so some of them will...
We can deal with them individually, but collectively right now, just receive them.
We can receive them. And
that's
then,
all I'm saying.
Because, yeah, they're not...
We can do that, and now we'll just save a whole bunch of time.
And actually staff...
The IDs have to be reviewed anyway.
Well, the staff will most likely review the policy and indicate that, you know, it was not met by the deadline. We do not support capital projects because the staff is the ones who are to advise council, and so that it's objective and it's not political in nature where these donations go to. So,
So we're just going to receive items 13.2 to 13.6 and request staff to review our donation policy to see if they're in compliance.
And bring it back to the next board meeting, I guess.
Yep.
Got all that?
Yes.
Okay.
But can we do that one? Because that's not asking for money.
Yeah. Okay, well, we can do that one. Resolution 22-230, be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar hereby received a letter from the McKellar Agricultural Society requesting the granular material placed in the sports field be graded prior to the horse show at the 2020 McKellar Fall Fair. I have a mover and a seconder, please. Mr. Haskin, Councilor Miller, is there any discussion? Hearing none, call the question.
So this resolution will go directly to the roads? This resolution will go directly to the roads?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get the end on there.
Okay, we're just doing this resolution. Question? Call a question on favor? Okay. Okay. So, we can go with it. Resolution 22-231, be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby receive items 13.3 to 13.6 and further that staff review all requests and make recommendations based on the Township's donation request policy and report to Council at the next regular meeting, July 12, 2022. May I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councilor Moore, Councilor Kekkonen, any discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Okay, so we have resolution 22-232. Be resolved the Council of Township McKellar has extended the curfew of this meeting by 1 hour and 10 minutes to 11 PM. I have a mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Haskin, any discussion? Hopefully we've got any questions. Call a question on favor.
Can I get a recorded vote, please?
Councilor Morley Haskin.
Yes.
Councilor Mike Heckman?
Yes.
Councilor Reg Moore?
No.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Mayor Peter Hopkins?
Yes. Kurt. Okay, so Resolution 22-233, be resolved that the Council of Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2022-14, being a bylaw to adopt the estimates of all sums required during the 2022, a first and second reading, and further read a third time and pass an open council this 14th day of June 2022. Can I have a mover and a second here, please? Councilor Haskell, second. Councilor Ryland. Is there any discussion?
Just for clarification, this is the budget bylaw.
Yes.
Hearing nothing else, call the question. Do you want a recorded vote?
Yes.
Councilor Morley Pascoe?
Yes.
Councilor Mike Heckman?
No.
Councilor Reg Moore?
No.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Mayor Peter Hopkins?
Yes. Here. Resolution 22-234, be resolved that the Council of Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2022-31, being a bylaw to provide for the adoption tax rates and to further provide the penalty and interest in default of payment thereof for 2022, a first and second reading, and further a third time pass an open council this 14th day of June 2022. We have a mover and a second, please. Councilor Ryland. Any discussion?
Recorded vote again, please.
Councilor Morley Haskell?
Yes.
Councilor Mike Heckman?
No.
Councilor Reg Moore?
No.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Mayor Peter Hopkins?
Yes. Carried. And the third one, Resolution 22-235, be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2022-32, being a bylaw to appoint Robert Morrison as fire chief, a first and second reading, and further read a third time, and pass an open council this 14th day of June 2022. You may have a mover and a second, please. Councilor Ryland, Councilor Moore, is there any discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. My understanding you started yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. Consent?
No.
For the June. Resolution 22-236, be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby support the consent application of three new rural lots and lot addition in part of Lot 29, Concession 6 on Burnett's Road, as applied for by 2792311 Ontario Limited, and consent application BO2-2022, subject to the following conditions. One, conveyance of a strip of land 33 feet from the center line of the traveled portion of Burnett's Road to the township. Payment of a fee in lieu of parkland to the township. Three, acquiring adequate 911 addressing. Four, payment of any applicable planning fees. And five, verification from the director of operations
by way of staff report, the three lots can accommodate an entrance in compliance with municipal standards. We have a mover and a second here, please. Councillor Haskell, second. Councillor Moore. Any discussion?
Mr. Davidson is here to speak on that, I believe.
Pardon?
Mr. Davidson going to speak on that?
He's on there, I think.
Yeah. Ted, did you want to say anything to this resolution?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to start my video. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I prepared a report, a final opinion report on this matter, and I think you've found in the agenda. First off, all of these lands are designated waterfront. They're subject to the waterfront policy of the official plan. It's clear to me that this consent application means these to be waterfront lands in that they are seeking an approval of three new lots plus the retained, as well as an additional lot of it. The lands are similar to interior lands found on Stormy Point, as well as Glenn's Lane. And you will see on page 13 of the report that those properties are designated rural in the official plan. As is the block between Burness Road as well as what's called Hardy's Crescent, although I could not find any municipal records with respect to Hardy's Crescent. I did a tour by water. The entire shoreline of this property was designated as environmental protection area. My boat visit with respect to the land indicates that the waters are very shallow with a sandy base, and those usually reflect spawning habitat for bass as well as pike. You can also see that the shoreline is associated with a lot of flooded land that extends back into the shoreline. We have, in fact, the creation of what I will call one new waterfront lot with the Class 1 fish habitat as shoreline. We also have a lot of additions, which includes a portion of it's an interior pond. You will see it reflected on the air photo on page 12 of the report. And the proposal is to sever a portion of that pond as part of the lot addition. And then there is to be created a rural lot with frontage on Burnett Road, including the portion of the pond. The retained land will have a dwelling on it. That's on page 9 of the report that I provided. And I'm not sure with respect to the retained land whether this building will comply with the setbacks, etc., from the lot lines, and that's why I was recommending a rural, an RR zone for all of the lots, for lot 1, lots 3, as well as 3. I've also recommended, Mr. Chair, that a site assessment be done with respect to the waterfront lands. The official plan calls for sufficient frontage of those lands to be available for recreational use and docking. And in my preliminary review of the matter, it does not appear that docking facilities are going to be easily achieved. And you can see that basically on page 11, the photograph of basically, this is the frontage of the new waterfront lot that will be created. The interior of the lands, I was not able to access to see this pond, but I believe the pond also has a docking facility on it that the lands to the, I'll call it lands to the east, used for, I think, swimming purposes or recreational purposes. And that's why a portion of the pond, which I believe is going to be included in the lot of fish. To be consistent with the zoning in the area, you see on page 15 that the lots interior to Landy Plain as well as Throwing Point are zoned RR. You see a RU zone. These properties basically are split zones, which as a planner I find confusing because it gives the impression to the owner that I can use a portion of the property for rural uses and the other portion for waterfront uses, even though the bylaw restricts it to one dwelling unit per lot. And that's why I'm suggesting the site-specific zoning to RR for those interior lots. I don't think that the broad brush of rural uses is appropriate, which includes farming, which includes group homes, which includes a golf course, for example, etc. I think the RR zone is the appropriate zone for these interior lots, and it should be done by way of site-specific zone. Any questions?
So, what do we do with this resolution?
So, what do we add? What exactly needs to be added?
That he also review his report?
Just the plan report. I'd submit the whole thing, like he sums it up.
Yeah.
Mr. Davidson, your plan report is summed up in the last page here, if I can find it.
Page 18? Page 19?
Yes.
Page 19. Provided the recommendations up front, as well as a summary at the end.
Okay.
So I would say we add the whole report as part of the resolution.
But you don't have to write it all out.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Added to it, item number 6, that the report of Ted Davidson, planner, is added to this resolution, and further that fulfillment of his recommendations are a condition to the consent application.
Sounds good.
Did you hear that, Ted?
Could you
I just said that the report of Ted Davidson Planner is added to this resolution, and for the fulfillment of his recommendations as a condition of the consent application.
Still saying Ted Davidson Planner, shouldn't we say this? Right, just the footer says Ted Davidson Consultants Inc.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, I can change that.
Okay. It's a small change, just to be clear.
Yep.
I know, while we're on the subject, I think we mentioned it before, all these documents should have a date stamp as soon as they come in.
Yes.
There's no date on this anyway.
Okay.
And then we can reference that. Okay.
Ted, is it normal to not include a date on reports like this?
Sorry, Counselor.
Sorry, you couldn't hear me? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I've got the mic over there. My mic was over on the lectern. Sorry. Is it normal to, or is it typical to not have a date on the report like this?
No, I could have put the, I apologize.
Okay, no problem. I wondered, I looked through the document to see if I could find it.
So we've just changed here. We've just changed your designation from planner to consultant. And the rest stands. Is there any other discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Carried. What about this?
Okay.
So we're on 16.2, the closed captioning of council meetings, the AODA requirements. I've asked the clerk to speak to it.
Okay. And I think we kind of addressed that today already. We addressed it when Dan Hildebrandt spoke. I have been in touch with AODA, and in all honesty, they weren't very helpful. They sent me on a wild goose chase, but I am working on it, and I will continue to keep working on it so that we can meet our requirements.
I called them also, and I told them how long I've been dealing with this.
Yes. Yep.
They told me to give me the number for the legal office.
Can I get that number for you?
Yes, you may.
Because when I called them, they kept telling me that I explained to them that you are a ratepayer and not an employee. And they kept saying, well, you need to go to health and safety. And it was a huge runaround, and I end up going from place to place. So if you can provide me that phone number.
Well, the Human Rights Act is involved with the Disabilities Act.
Right.
The Human Rights Act trumps that.
Right.
So when you phone the AODA, they just take a report. That number that you have,
yeah.
They just write something down. They don't take action. They won't come out.
No.
They won't investigate. They have to pass you to another organization because the organ, what they're giving you is just, you know, they say, okay, it's a common number. It says call that number if you have complaints.
Yeah.
You call that number, and all they do is make a note of your complaint, and that's the end. But at the other end, they investigate. The people do it actually provide free legal individuals.
Can you provide me with that number?
Okay,
because that's what I found. I called AODA and it was.
So she wants us to provide. She wants you to provide her with that number.
Yeah. Okay. It's actually, I feel sorry for you. You work so hard, right? But it's, you know, really. They work to death, and I'm concerned with you.
Mm-hmm.
I know you, I know your brother, everything. I'm concerned for your health because you're being worked to death. We have to have 2 meetings a month.
Okay.
And if not, I would like you to make arrangements tomorrow for me to rent the hall. And I'm going to have a meeting on that.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
I'll give you the number and you arrange me to rent the hall.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And I appreciate everything you do and everything you have done.
Thank you.
Don't get sick over me.
Okay, so 17.1, we have a resolution 22-237. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Gutters hereby approve the name change of McKellar Ferguson Boundary Road to Boundary Road. Need a mover and a seconder.
Councilor Hoskin. Seconded.
Do we have documentation?
I don't play.
Okay.
I need a seconder. It doesn't go on the tape. Okay, now we can have discussion. I'll leave it up to the clerk to explain.
This again. This was a phone call I received from Paul Mallory. And apparently this had been brought to council some time ago. I couldn't find anything on it. Apparently he had submitted a request about changing McKellar Ferguson Boundary Road to Boundary Road, just to shorten it.
So this is just the north side, or both sides?
The other side now, if you notice, is Vowels.
Farm Road?
Yeah, something like that. It's been changed.
Yeah.
It's been changed, so it's just McKellar.
It's going down to Vowels Lake.
Yeah, but does 911 know that?
I'm assuming that McDougal Township did that because
we have a resident in McKellar on that road.
I'm hoping
down at the lake we do.
No, just off Reg Smith, just off the road.
Yeah,
Reg is he's
so right. Now his 911 number is whatever Wells Road.
Yeah, I can check with Mary because I just noticed it this morning because I knew that this was on the agenda and that's when I noticed that it's been changed.
So
to
McDougal changed to McKellar
Farm Road or something like that.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Just saying what. I wouldn't feel comfortable changing this without McDougal being involved in some way.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be dual approval.
Yeah.
And it's something that we will need to look into further.
Yeah, I think we should defer this and then pass it on to McDougal and find it. Yeah, know what's right. So.
Yeah. Oh.
Because his property, just for the record, Paul Mallory's property is the one property on the left of that road at the bottom of freaking hill on the left-hand side, because I lost a copy of that deck. I said, there's nobody on the left that's in McKellar, and he is. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is on the right.
Out there, lots of time to hold on.
Okay, so if it's okay, can we defer this and send it off to McDougal and let the clerk follow up with that?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All in favor of deferring it? Okay. All right.
So you're going to find out about the golf?
Yeah,
I will
check on that.
Yeah, check that. So we have a clerk's going to report on something.
Yep, and I'm going to be really quick because a lot of you guys already covered it. Swim instructor, yes, we've hired an instructor for this summer. She starts on June 27th. And lessons, the first set, 3-week set of lessons, will start on July 4th. The bottles for charity, the pre-COVID funds were reconciled and distributed to the two organizations who participated prior to March 14th. 789.70 went to the McDougal Student Advisory Committee. $353.50 to the Whitestone McKellar Lions Club. We now have three organizations who have committed to joining the program: McDougal Advisory Committee, McKellar Firefighters Association, and Whispering River Orchestra. We are trying to schedule a meeting for next week. We haven't got anything concrete yet. We're expecting a starting date of July 2020. The current situation with the bottles at the transfer station, because there's quite a pile there, Greg has been trying to contact the Rotary Committee, the Rotary Club in Parry Sound, to see if there is some way that we can collect those bottles and have that funds go towards Ukrainian families that have relocated in the area.
The group seeking donations that were on our agenda, they could be advised that they have this. There's an opportunity for maybe putting their names in as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Agricultural Society was informed, I believe.
We have,
and I believe the Herndale Community Club does not want to do it, and Dadomic was the only one that I thought was coming in, but we haven't heard anything from Dadomic, so they were all contacted. Everybody was contacted.
Yeah, library said no,
Library,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
McKellar Dunn Church, the Lions Club, they all said no.
Okay. So we have three going forward. Yeah. Okay, good.
I attended CAO meeting. Discussions were held on financial support for the district, the Parry Sound District Museum and the Parry Sound Library. The consensus of all CIOs was agreed that both the museum and the library need to develop asset management plans moving forward. I advised them that McKellar supports their own museum and library, that there's not been donations to theirs. We support our own. There was a brief discussion on ice cap, on how the cost sharing worked. There were different amounts for every individual municipality. So on a note on that, ICECAP is wanting to do a presentation to the council, but they say they need a minimum of an hour to do the presentations, and I've advised them that that's not permissible in a regular council meeting. So I'm putting it to council whether you want to schedule a special meeting for ICECAP to come in and do a presentation. We don't need to set a date any time immediately, but before the end of the month, I would like to be able to contact them and say where we are moving forward with that. Further,
so everybody knows, I mean, they're looking for, we've given them $8,000, is that correct, Marshawn? And they're looking for $14,500 still?
Yeah. And they're looking for another commitment for four more years.
Yeah.
For 4 more years, they're looking for another commitment. And the consensus of the other townships was the same. They're not really sure what we're getting for our money. We have a report that it would take, well, my niece who's a PhD in biology might be able to explain it to me. I have no idea what it means.
I think he gave that. Did he give that presentation?
He might have given that presentation.
He probably gave us an update on climate change in stage 1 and 2.
Yeah. So, but they want to come in and explain how they're coming up with the dollar figures that they're charging to each municipality. We were of the understanding that it was supposed to be in equal shares, initially divided 5 ways, but there was actually 6 municipalities on board. Now they're asking for the same amount of money, but we now have eight municipalities on board that we're still asking for the same amount of money. So there's a lot of confusion.
I would suggest that we tell them that we passed our budget tonight and we have a budget figure in there for them, and that we will leave it up to the new council in October or November if they want to set up a date. We have enough other stuff that needs to be taken care of if we're going to meet.
And the last point on the CAO's meeting, they were talking about the future of recycling. There's a push on to move recycling to a single stream rather than what we have now with the dual stream. They say that it's actually more cost efficient and more environmentally it's working better. The single stream all goes to a sorting location in Barrie, whereas Progressive that picks up ours goes to Bracebridge. In 2 different, so they are gearing towards moving everything to a single stream, and doing that there's a suggestion that it's something that possibly all of the municipalities could look at working at something together to get a better rate if we are eventually do have to go to that. So that's still just discussion. The last point was this: I attended the steering committee for the Recreation and Culture Center. Jason Ingram, Clayton Harris, and Tim Hunt, they met on May 30th to discuss the draft agreement for the project manager, and they were meeting with him to follow up. I haven't received an update since that was May 23rd when I had that meeting. This fundraising and sponsorship team has identified a potential resource to assist in the marketing, which could replace the need for them to put an RFP out for a branding strategy firm, so that could save some money. The town of Parry Sound has made a request to CRA to have a charitable status for the municipal service boards because it is a new corporation, so won't be any tax on it, hopefully. Clayton Harris, John Fior, and Stephanie Phillips, who is the treasurer for the town of Parry Sound, met with Dustin Turner regarding NOHFC funding opportunities, and each municipality can apply for funding based on 50% funding and eligible costs up to $2 million. So we can apply for NOHFC funding for the pool for 50%. And then their draft operating agreement with the YMCA is expected to be due the first week of June, and a target to have it complete and approved agreement by the end of June.
Okay. Moving into consent agenda, which would be a resolution. Resolution 22-238. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Cutter has hereby received the consent agenda. Mover and second, please. Councilor Moore, second. Councilor Heston, any discussion? Call a question, all in favor? Three. Any questions from anybody on items on the agenda that has not already been discussed? Please state your name.
Mike Richard. I have a question, but I want to read just a paragraph first, if you don't mind. You'll indulge me. This is a statement from then Reeve Hopkins, April 20th, 2015. I feel that it is unacceptable to use irrelevant information to deliberately cloud the issues at hand. One such example is the lengthy diatribes about a pool in Parry Sound. This idea has been studied since 1988. This is not an active area project and has nothing to do with the issues that we need to be addressing. I did work as a volunteer on the pool committee before it disbanded 5 years ago. As a recreation professional, I highly value fitness and opportunities for all people to remain so. A pool has been ranked the number one recreation facility in every study. Several organizations do keep discussion for a pool on the table. The proposed 2010 model was one that the area could not support. As I have stated many times, to even consider the idea of an aquatic center as a cost recovery model involving multiple partners must be found, and citizens should have the final say with a referendum on the issue. That was you making that statement. The way it stands right now, the only two people in this township who approved this project was yourself and the deputy mayor. Will you honor what you said in this statement and elsewhere that you would hold a referendum on this, and ask council to put a motion forward to have a referendum before we borrow the money to pay into this pool?
Thank you.
Well, I don't think two people could approve that on council. It must have been more.
No, they did, because I'll bring you back to the meeting. There was only three of you, and the other two councillors had resigned.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Forgot about that.
You attended the meeting in Parry Sound that afternoon, hurried back here, and we had a rush meeting in camera where you guys decided what you were going to do, and then the vote was cast, and that's it. So it was only the two of you who made this decision. Never was the financial details of this project ever released to the public. Never. We never got the traveling roadshow, and you never released to the public what the financial implications are. And now you're kicking it down the road to the next council to have to worry about how to pay this without really hammering people with tax increases. Will you put forward a motion to have a referendum?
No, I mean, we don't do things by referendum. I made that suggestion, but that we haven't done that. There's been 4 studies done on pools. Everyone has recommended that we get a pool complex in the thing for years. We haven't been able to get all 7 together. I ran on running a pool every election and got reelected. That's, in a sense, a form of endorsement of the situation. The committee has worked all. It's been public all the way through. There have been surveys and stuff done. Every survey has said that. And don't do that.
Why?
Well, you've never... I'm doing this swan song. I'm telling you the truth.
But you've never given...
You know?
You've never given the public the financial information. Why?
There have been 3 reports done.
Why haven't you given up the people in McKellen the financial implications of this project?
They had to be outlined in 2 documents.
What documents are you talking
about? The ones that we sent out as a press release on what we were committed to, the 8.5%, and what the costs were, and what the proportions were with the other 6 municipalities and First Nations.
Do you believe that all of the voters in McKellar Township are aware of the commitment of 775,000 that Roshan counted today, 775,000 plus probably another $500,000 in interest. Are you telling me that they're aware of that?
I don't.
And the tax implications of it? No, I don't think so. Let's be honest about this. Tell the people. Have a referendum and tell the people.
We don't run things by referendum.
No, you don't run things openly and transparently either.
It's not true. I've been very
true
with both.
Where?
From day one.
All right, Peter, let me ask you Mr. Mayor, let me ask you the question respectfully. You have had tax bills go out. Is there any reason why you couldn't have included in those tax bills information regarding the financial implication of the pool? What kind of financial commitment we were making?
Well, we did a press release in January. Actually.
And did you give them the financial
basically,
details?
Basically, yeah.
Basically?
Not all the details, no.
Well,
we gave them what the cost was, what the grant was, what the 7 municipalities have to come up with, what our percentage is, etc. Yes. And except for a few people objecting,
listen,
we haven't heard anything.
If
so
the people...
Morley hasn't either.
Because they don't know.
Well, a motion passed of our Recreation Committee, and it was unanimous that all members of that committee are in favor of going ahead with the pool. And I spoke with many, not the old politicians sitting around in this room, but the young families of this area, and they want a pool. They want their children to have the same opportunity as every other child does south of North Bay and Sudbury.
And so, we're having an open discussion here. So
as long as somebody else is going to pay for it.
That's right.
Get the tax bills.
So the
sure
economic...
They don't want, nobody wants to pay for it, but it's a fact of life. You got to pay for everything. We put a rank in, we paid lots of money. We didn't have a referendum for that. And probably only 5% of the population have ever used that rank.
Part of what this council has been telling people since its inception was that you were going to be open, honest, and transparent. So that means getting the information to all the voters that are here in this township. Was there an outreach to all the voters to let them know the financial implications? How many people realized that there was going to be another $500,000 added on in interest? And what the repercussions are, you guys have kicked it down the road till next year. So, yeah, the next council is going to have to deal with the tax implications of this. So let's have a realistic response from our community. I don't care if there's a pool or there's no pool. I care about the tax implications. That's all I care about. If the people, the majority of this township wants to pay for the pool and are willing to pay much higher taxes to support it, God bless.
We'll see what happens to the election. Mr. Zulak?
Okay, we've got to be short ones here. The April 7th, I attended the environmental meeting on April 7th. Mary come with me to try to get the system on her own time, and it failed. I want the minutes to reflect that I attended that meeting, and they were not able to accommodate me. The same thing at the last meeting. Those minutes would reflect that I attended it, and they were not able to accommodate me. That's a fair request. Mm-hmm. So then, as I say, people are asking me to do these things now. Another thing. I don't.
Go ahead. No, I don't think it was April 17th. Do you remember that?
I was here on April 7th with Mary.
April 7th.
And then waited a couple of months, and I went back because she didn't arrange. The same thing happened, exactly the same thing. And I'll tell you the difference this time. There was four people of the committee on Zoom, and two people in the chamber here with me. We were discussing what was going on, how it could accommodate me, and they muted it because we were discussing it. They muted the conversation, so they didn't even have a quorum any longer to start the meeting. There's rules of order that are supposed to be followed. You can't, and I don't see any example being set sometimes here, but that is the way it is. I want the minutes to reflect that I attended that meeting and they were not entitled to accommodate, and you told me that you would see that they were in the minutes at the last meeting.
Okay. Well, the minutes of last week's meeting,
that's
reflected. You
about April 7th I attended. Okay. Way earlier, and Mary did it. Okay, so I want that in it. Now, Morley, if I may say something on the pool. Morley, when we built the rink, we paid for it. When we built the fire hall, we paid for it. When we bought a dump truck, a backhoe, a grader, we paid for it. That's the difference. It's not.
You understand
everything we've ever done, Morley, since we were first on council together, we paid for it. We didn't do bench. The hospital, we borrowed it from ourselves. And we paid it back with interest. Paid the interest of the reserves. That was between $800 million. You got to borrow money, borrow it for yourself, pay it back, provide the interest. But that's the difference. We're not paying for stuff anymore. We borrow money for fire stuff. And we're going to borrow this and debenture that and debenture this. We were one of two municipalities that were debt free. That's something to be proud of. You see, that's where I see the difference is. It's not what we want. The difference is we're not paying for it. And we've done every other recreation thing, the park, the gazebo, everything. We've always paid for it. The garage. That's the difference. Okay. Natural heritage features and you were talking on that consent application. I asked the natural resources, how can you have a natural heritage feature on an artificial created water body? Natural is not man-made. So there is no natural heritage feature on the lakeshore because it didn't exist.
Natural heritage can be anywhere on the land. It doesn't have to be
As long as it's significant. If it's not significant, there's no reason to pay for evaluation. Somebody has to decide if it's any more significant than any other. I'm just concerned with cost. You know what I mean? And I had it out with the M&R on the river property. Who owns the lily pads? And everything on it, the logs, everything. So that's private property. It can be fenced. So I'm just concerned that the more studies we do, if they're not 100% necessary, if we put them in there, they become 100% necessary. So that drives the cost to everybody.
So what does the official plan say whenever it comes to natural heritage then?
What does the official plan
say? I'm not sure word for word, but I looked up what natural heritage means under the Ontario law.
So we have an official plan with policies and the bylaw enforces those policies, so that's what we have to go by.
Yeah, but as I say, the policy still on the natural shoreline.
Our policies are what we have to go by because they've been approved by all the agencies and the MMMH. We can't decide by looking at something online that we want to go that route.
No, I just meant the law. The law of what the deciders is significant, not significant. I'm not one that's going to make any determination.
But our official plan does that.
Oh. What does it say?
I'm asking you. You're the one that's giving us a spiel on
I read so much. I spent hours reading 100 and some pages of garbage. How much class I read.
But I thought you were educating me.
I couldn't even begin to go through and analyze what you got in your package and make a decent decision on anything and do what I have to do around the place. I don't know anybody on council. If they were all taken to court. Some is the court, but the hand in the Bible and swearing the Bible, they could evaluate all the stuff in the time you were given and do it accurately. I think the answer would be self-evident. That's what I'm concerned with.
Okay, we've got one more question.
Okay, one more, yeah.
No.
Oh, sorry.
I have another person that wants one more question. We're on a deadline.
Yes.
So I'm going to be very strict on it so we can move into
short-term closing. Rentals? June 25th at 10 a.m., is that our
That's where
meeting?
I suggested, yes.
Okay, that was that. And I have one quick question. Why is there no help out at the dump for Andy?
We put in a request for 3 students to work with Public Works. Zero.
Zero. No.
If you know of anybody that wants to work for the township this summer, who's a student, we're looking for 3 students. To contact Greg or Ida as soon as possible.
So if we can round up one and he can get some help.
Absolutely. Well, more than that, we got one of our senior people who has a broken arm that can't work.
Oh dear.
So if you know of anybody, anybody knows of anybody, contact them immediately. We're in dire need.
There's every municipality in the area, the 7 municipalities. Whitestone has been able to secure 1 student. Yeah. Every other municipality has not been able to get a single student this summer.
I've got to get into closed
session. Just 20 minutes. Went on why you're going to closed session and why you're discussing hiring of a clerk and stuff in closed session when there's nobody's name, personal name being discussed. When you're talking about a position, it shouldn't be in closed sessions. It should be open in public.
We're talking about a contract.
There's a name.
There's a name to it.
There's a name.
So if you're talking about a contract, that is mine in closed session. But the actual hiring and the notification, the discussion of whether somebody's to be hired, should be public. The individual, when he's been hired, and the contract, that's entitled to be in closed session, of course.
That's all we're talking
about. If it's not personal information, we should be able to hear about it. That's all. Mm-hmm. It should be discussed here, then you go on closed session and make your decision. That's fine. But I don't know what's going on anymore, and a lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. Because we've got, we can't see it. That's it for me. Good luck.
Okay. Resolution 22-239, be resolved in Council of the Cowra pursuant to Municipal Act SL 2001 as amended, move into closed session at
10:38
p.m. to discuss the following items. Closed minutes of closed session. Personal matters for identifiable individual, municipal or local board employees, deputy clerk, bylaw enforcement planner, litigation or potential litigation, including matters before the administrative tribunal affecting the municipality local board, verbal update in pending matters. Mover and seconder, please. Call a question, all in favor? Ring closed, turn off the mics.